welcome to another episode of the West Life Podcast, sponsored by, as always, MG Pump Solutions. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at West Life, and check us out on patreon.com/Westlife and the website westlife.com. Now, on the socials, I promised, kind of promised that I'd have an NRL, a current West Tigers player on the show. That kind of fell through last minute. They had a team meeting or something going on. There's a bit of West Tigers breaking news tonight too. So I don't know whether that's linked or not, but fingers crossed that will happen in the coming weeks. But I've got the dream team on anyway. We've got Rob and Shane. How are we doing, fellas?
Good, Josh. How are you? How's everyone?
How are you going?
Yeah, I'm going good, mate.
Well, I thought I lost you there for a minute, Shane. I thought you might have fallen asleep. Good after a win. Always good after a win. So I think this is your second appearance after a win now, Rob.
Yeah, definitely. It's fantastic.
You're racking them
been
up.
Been buzzing all week, mate, ever since even the Magpies game the night before. It's been a really good week for my sporting teams.
That was cool, the Magpies being Thursday night prime time, wasn't it? It was a cool, like, even though the NRL guys got pulled, it was a cool match to watch. It's, did you see it, Shane?
Yeah, how bloody good is Zach Docker Clay?
Could he translate it to NRL, do you reckon?
I reckon he could.
He's,
there's only one way to see, I guess.
I didn't realize how small he was. He's only 5'7". He's actually slightly shorter than me, so he's small. But when he goes hard, he runs hard. You can't. That's why I was surprised when I looked up his height, that he doesn't play like he's close to a jockey's height. So
yeah, similar build to Adam Reynolds, but
yeah, true.
Win like. We dropped seven players out of what was listed. That, you know, we looked all over the shop if you saw the team program, but we absolutely smashed Norse.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
The Magpies are absolutely rolling. I think they're going for eight. Is it eight in a row this week?
Yeah, eight in a row. Yeah.
So, so they're playing at Lickham Oval Saturday afternoon against Canberra Raiders, I believe. We're probably going to head out, the three of us, if we can... Let the partners give us permission to get out there. So come say g'day to us. Lickham Oval, always like, yeah, getting out to there. I'm sure you've got plenty of memories of Lickham Oval back in the day, Rob.
Yeah, so it was always a tough place for Balmain to get a win. Like, West were a really tough physical side back then, but I actually can't remember the last game that I did go to there. That's how long ago it's been. But, yeah, always a good little ground and really parochial crowd there, but... it'll bring back some memories going out there.
The last time I went there, I mean, it's not the best. I'll be like looking through a millennial's eyes. It's not the best ground in terms of viewing because it's an oval. It's got the, I think it's like a velodrome sort of thing around the outside.
Yeah, had a bike track around the.
Yeah,
side
so
of
that
it, and a really shitty grandstand. It was a really small grandstand.
Yeah, it's pretty
the
much
the biggest goalpost you've ever seen. The tallest goalpost you'll ever see.
Yeah, so it's pretty much the same as it was back then. So, but a good family day out. It's similar to Henson Park. Henson Park is an oval with a footy over. So it's not the best in terms of viewing capacity, but good atmosphere. So I'm looking forward to that. So from the Magpies onto the West Tigers, we, of course, came out firing against the Newcastle Knights. It was so good. We put the game away. In hindsight, probably put it away early. We were messaging in the group chat, and I didn't really know when to feel comfortable with this team. But in the end, Shane, we pretty much dominated the game from start to finish.
100%. And, like, I think I was pretty shocked with Moses Embiid, to be honest. I didn't expect him to pull out the big guns he did. Drawing Frizzelli for that first try, like the way he ran across the line, you just, if you watch it again, Frizzell pops out to sort of go for him, and he just literally pops the ball to Tommy and it bursts straight through. It was the biggest gap, and I was shocked because I was just sitting there thinking, man, that was Moses Embiid that set that up. That was killer. Like, sweet. It was we'll see how he goes the rest of the game. And him giving early ball to Brooks just showed how good Brooks can be as well, man. He was my man of the match, Brooksy. So I was pretty happy with the whole team performance. Tommy did that weird little flick back in, which scared me. But other than that, I was stoked with everyone, really.
And Rob, plenty of positives to take out of the game. What did you see?
Too many positives. The biggest thing for me, and you know, we'll get onto the players and how we played and the tries and all that sort of stuff, but the biggest thing for me was the style of play we produced, which that's the one thing that was really encouraging. It wasn't that grinding, shitty win like we did against, you know, St. George and the one we had against Newcastle. This was positive, eyes-up football, players in motion. You know, the defence, still our first contact wasn't great, but we just had a lot of shape in attack, bodies in motion. Mbai and even Dane Laurie. Dane Laurie's always playing great, but just they were just perfect links. Like, they didn't overplay their hand. But if you look at a few of the tries, like even the one Shane was just talking about, like Knoffer would just normally take the tackle 15 out and play the ball. He got the offload to Mbai. Mbai just played what was in front of him. Put Tommy through, Brooksy on the back of it, scores. Even this, I think Knoffer's try later on, I think our third try, you know, Adam Glahey jumped up and batted the ball back. Moses didn't even take a step, just picked up the ball, instantly passed it to Knoffer. Like, no one overplayed their hand. It was just really good to watch. Playing what was in front of you.
It was more exciting football, absolutely. And I mentioned last week on the show that our record at Suncorp is pretty good in the recent times. Do you think the warm weather, Rob, maybe promotes better football? Like, the good teams can do it everywhere, but does the team maybe get more confidence, or do you think it was just purely Madge's game plan was better this week?
I think it was Madge's game plan. And, you know, like, we second-guessed him last week. Well, I certainly did. I thought he was calling a bluff, you know, putting Adam in the centres. And even though Adam was in the centres, he still, you know, did some creative things. He still got a grubber kick in, which caused an error from two Newcastle guys. He still jumped up and batted the ball back to Mbai for Knoffer's try. So he still got really involved in it. But I guess the thing with Adam going to centre is he runs the ball 15 to 20 times a game anyway. So at 5'8", he's really not servicing your outside centres too much. So he still ran it just as much as he did, but he still got creative. But I don't think it's a weather. I just think it was an attitude thing, Josh. And the thing for me going forward, whether we win or lose games, we've just got to play the way we did. You know, there was like the week before against the Gold Coast, you know, we could throw a blanket over nine blokes just standing next to each other. We weren't like that this week. We were spread out. We had a shape. We had a pattern. And that actually suits Luke Brooks as well. You know, because you do three or four shitty, boring hit-ups going nowhere when the opposition defence has just ganged up on you and stacked their middle. And then Brooksy gets it on the fourth or fifth tackle trying to do something and runs sideways and looks stupid. It just doesn't suit him. You know, we need to play what's in front of us. It was just, I'll put it down to Madge. Like, I'm giving Madge 3 points, even though he's not a player. That was all Madge. But if I was to give a player, I'd still give Adam 3. And definitely I'd give Brooksy 2. And probably Safar. Safar was on a one-man wrecking machine. Like, he was amazing.
Yeah, when he knocked that ball free, I can't remember who he was tackling. Was it Clemmer? He might have knocked the ball out of his hands.
I can't remember who he knocked. He did it twice, but in the second half, it led to Tommy Talau's try.
Yeah, so he made some big plays.
Yeah, he made some big plays, and I haven't seen that in him before. Mm. I've seen him play well, but I haven't seen him have that sort of impact. So it's really promising signs. So we've got so much forward depth now. Like, it's actually really, really promising.
What were you saying there, Shane?
So he had a bit of aggression about him. He's always been a bit timid, I found. When he runs the ball, he just sort of takes the tackle, whereas on the weekend, he'd pretty much hit the line and just keep chugging them legs. And you'd just be looking for little gaps. You'd be looking for stuff. He was moving a bit more laterally instead of just running it straight in. Yeah, he just had a bit of aggression. It was good. I like to see it.
The whole team just
rang a rage.
Yeah, the whole team seemed to just have that extra, like, fire in them. Even BJ Leilua, like, was looking like the old BJ Leilua, like a
100%. I don't know, the big talking about not overplaying hands. BJ played his hand perfectly.
Yeah, 3 weeks in a row.
Excellent all night.
Yep.
Yeah,
he's unlucky not to get a try too.
100%. Yeah, he wasn't doing those stupid little offloads, those real low percentage offloads. He'd hold the ball and do a quick play the ball instead of doing what he'd usually do and try to throw it out the back to anyone. He wasn't. He was holding the ball, dropping down, quick play the ball, keep going.
And a great try assist to Tommy Talau too after that, causing the lost ball. That little flick there, that was beautiful.
Yeah, that's exactly what a centre, perfect centre, setting up a try for a winger. That one, even the forwards played well. Jacob Little, who's been given the nod at nine, coming back. I thought his dummy half service was a lot improved to before he got dropped. Do you agree, Rob?
Yes, I still see bits where, like, I'd like to see the service a bit quicker. Even the one where Thomas McKayley got held up for a try, just in general play, I kind of felt he delayed passing that ball till there was no other option, and it gave the defenders time to get McKayley. But look, he's playing well. I mean, I think if we're not going to give Jock Madden enough time on the field, we really need to go with two hookers. Jock didn't really get to show his wares, and I have a feeling, I think we're all pretty sure that Jock Madden was there just as a backup in case the Brooks end by combo wasn't working, but it worked really well last week. So I'm kind of a little bit puzzled why Jock's there this week.
Yeah.
They're happy with what Brooksy and Moses Embi did on the weekend.
Shane, you're a big advocate on the show for getting Joffa at lock. Do you reckon he's there? He's pretty much going to stay there now. He's had a good game.
Yeah, I reckon he's locked that position in until we find someone who is a bit of a better ball player. I just reckon he's been killing it. His second phase plays wild. Good runs up the middle. He seems super aggressive. He almost looks angry every time he gets the ball, just charging along. Even in defence, you can hear him making noises. Killer. I like it. That's what we need. We need a bit of mongrel, and we don't have much. So need a bit more bite.
We got a lot more second phase Friday night as well. Like, that's even when we flogged the Broncos at Leichhardt last year, it wasn't the sort of football we produced last Friday night. Like, they just kind of fell over like a pack of cards when we played them at Leichhardt. There weren't that many sort of well strung together tries. We just played a different brand. I'm like, where the hell has this been all year? Like, that's what gives me so much hope. It really does. We play like that. We're not going to win every week. But you've got enough to throw at the opposition. They get a little bit tired. They've got less to throw back at you. And I honestly think Newcastle thought, what the fuck's going on? Like, seriously, who are these guys? They haven't played like this all year. So it's just beautiful to watch. It's given me so much hope for the future. It really has. Whether it's this year or next year. Like, that I was just happy Madge has lifted his game. That was really good footy to watch.
Yeah, I think the team hopefully will take a bit of confidence. We're hoping for back-to-back wins. That's the big thing. Like, if we had to put together two halves against the Titans and not had that 8 minutes of shame in between, we're looking at probably three wins in a row. So it's getting better. I mean, we're only 2 points out of the eight, so I know that's kind of getting too far ahead.
We should have taken the Titans. We should have taken the Cowboys. They're just like, you know, if we're to make the eight, they're the sort of wins we just have to get. Because we've got a tough draw coming up, although hopefully Origin might, you know, hurt some of the opposition's lineups. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, after we've got the Dragons next, after the Warriors, and then I was looking at the draw on the fridge today as I was kind of planning out my month, and it's like Panthers, Eels, Storm, Rabbitohs. So, not a good foursome. But I didn't think of the Origin factor.
We've got to win these games where, you know, if you split the team, the comp up into like top five and bottom 11, we've got to win the games against those bottom 11. They're like 4 point games. You know, most of the teams are going to lose to those big five anyway. We need to snag a couple to make up for the ones we've lost that we should have won. But we've got to beat the Warriors this week.
Yeah, 100%. We'll get into that game later on in the show. So news broke tonight that apparently Madge and Pasco flew up to Brisbane to meet with Pangai Jr. and Jermaine Asako. What do you think about adding those two to the roster, Shane?
Well, it's much needed. We were talking about it before. Tavita's his second phase play. It's what we need. You need that. You need to keep rolling. It's easy meters if it's done well, and he does it better than pretty much any forward in the comp. It's that simple. I think it was only Christian Welsh who had more. And look at the team he's playing behind. Like, look at the team that Tavita's playing with, and he's one, I think it was one offload less this season over 10 games. Like, that's ridiculous. Imagine him with a firing team, which in the future I believe we will be, and I reckon he'll be unstoppable. And we need another winger. It's that simple. You get, like, Jermaine Asako is a superstar. He hasn't shown it, but we all know what he can do. And I believe that he needs just a bit of a change, some different pastures, and we'll see the best come out of him. And I don't think, like, we need cover for fullback, so that's excellent, but I really do think he'd be an excellent winger for our side.
Yeah, and Rob, who, it's assuming, or we can't really assume, but say those two guys do come in, who loses out from the current squad? Who's out then? Who do they replace?
Well, you'd have to assume with Asako that obviously Noffa has a spot locked up. You'd hope so anyway.
Yeah.
On his best form, so he'd take that spot. He's surely not going to get the fullback spot off Dane Laurie. So that one's pretty straightforward. The back row, I don't know. He might actually get the 13. I mean, there's so many ways you can play CPJ. So I'm happy with how Luke is going. I'm happy with how Luke is going. Luke Garner, both playing really good footy. And wouldn't that be great to have some serious competition for spots? You know, like we've got some guys, as you know, like we want Dean, you know, we want Bloor to come in. We've got Stefano injured at the moment. And we had that, what was that kid's name in for the Magpies the other night? Tuolagi or something?
He looks a gun too.
He looks promising as well. So, and then you've got your safe ass and
Jackson and Hastings. Guys,
and all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, we've just got a real lot of young forward depth. And it's just a matter now of sort of saying, okay, well, who are we keeping and who aren't we keeping? And I think we're pretty good in the forwards, but you definitely, you know, if we could get CPJ, you're not going to knock him back. He's probably a bit of a poor man's version of David Fifita. Like, he can score those tries where he just ragdolls a few defenders and goes over on his own. So he's got a bit of boost mode about him. So you just don't knock back good players. So I'd definitely be keen to get him. And obviously, Adam's kicking really well at the moment with his goal kicks. So to have another goal kicker as well. So we'd actually have two serious goal kickers. That'd be, you know, really good for us as well. So signs are positive, but you got to love these secret meetings, don't you? They get published all over the newspaper and Twitter and with Matt and Pasco and Hardigan going up to Brisbane.
Yeah, it's weird. I think James Hooper broke it. But, yeah, it sounded pretty weird. Apparently, I saw on NRL 360, apparently someone spotted him at the airport and they told someone who told it to Fox Sports or something like that. So, who knows? They might not have fed it to the media, but who knows? But as long as they get the job done, I guess that's all that matters. It must be a serious thing if they're actually flying mid 48 hours before a game, they're flying to Brisbane to hold a meeting. It must be pretty
serious. To be honest, I'm really happy that we're on the front foot and being positive and you know, doing all this sort of stuff. It's actually, you know, from a fan's point of view, it's just really positive to see. And what do you guys think of the Moses Mbai to St. George possible rumour?
Well, Shane, you go first. That's gone now.
It's not happening?
No, I don't think so. With Gerard Beale getting re-signed, I think
that was just for the outside backs, though, wasn't it?
I think they pretty much wiped the floor with it. That's what they were saying.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much the whole chase. We were pretty much saying, look, we want to let him go, but not now. So, like, you either have him for 2022 or you sort of don't take him. Unless you give us someone that we want. And they were just like, no, we don't have anyone. obviously everyone's injured, and they got Beal, and I think they just sort of went, yeah, cool, don't worry about it, we'll sort it out later.
Obviously, it'd free up a lot of cap space, but geez, if we could, you know, snag a few wins in a row with this combination that we fielded last week, all of a sudden we'll be thinking, hang on, let's keep him. You know, there's always that as well. Like, you know, two weeks ago we were criticising Brooksy and Mbai was on the bench, and you know what I mean? So it's amazing what a 2 wins out of 3 can do to the team.
Yeah, who'd have thought Mbai and Brooks are the new heroes? But it's all down to money. For half the salary, I mean, to let him go this year without compensation, as Shane said, it wouldn't be really much point, because what are we going to do with half his salary this year? Maybe front end a contract for next year, but we're not far out of the eight, so it's not like this season's a complete write-off just yet anyway. So for next year, taking half his salary, I don't know. Like you said, do we sit it out and just pay it to him next year? I mean, 500K, or what do we assume he's on, 900?
He's on about 750.
Oh, so it's only about 350. So half his salary is about 350. I mean, that could be the difference between getting a star and not getting a star. But
if he plays like he did Friday night, he's not going anywhere.
I mean, does he want to go back to Queensland, or is that more just the club kind of pushing that narrative?
Probably the club pushing it, I'd say. I don't know what Shane thinks.
What I reckon is probably true. And the reason why we seem to keep getting linked to Broncos people is that fact. We've got Billy Walters, who we all know wants to go play for his dad. So there's one player. And we've also got Mbai, who I don't know if he mentioned, but supposedly wants to go back to Queensland. So there's two players that want to go up north, and preferably will probably want to play Broncos. So it's interesting that Zarko has come up again, because he came up earlier in the year. Of supposedly we are looking at him. Who knows? Maybe a possible swap. Looks like it could possibly be happening. So I don't know. I'm just putting puzzle pieces here together, because no one really knows, unless you're one of the three guys who flew up to have the meeting.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I had lunch with a few of the boys and my uncle 2 Fridays ago. Adam Dwayhe, an offer was there, and Moses Mbai. And I asked Moses, and said, is anything going on, you know, like with your contract and stuff like that? Obviously, he's not going to say too much, but he said, no, he goes, there's nothing in the pipeline. But, you know, he looked a little bit forlorn when I kind of asked that question. So I think deep down he wants to be wanted by the Tigers, but, you know, hopefully he can make a name for himself at 6. He did last week.
Yeah, it's all down to money with Moses. It's not that he's a bad player. It's just we feel like the grass is greener with 700K in our pocket.
Yeah, that's so true.
Well, look, if we were giving him 500K, maybe 450, 500, it wouldn't be that bad. You know what I mean? You'd be like, oh, look, he hasn't performed. But what a lot of people aren't remembering is he was injured pretty much all of 2019. Remember, he had that strapping on his knee the whole time he was playing fullback. Then he had a groin injury, which led into it, and that was pretty much into the 2020 season as well. He had that groin injury. So a lot of people were sort of like giving him a lot of shit when it was quite obvious he was playing in a lot of pain.
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't so much giving him shit, but I kind of gave the club a lot of shit for signing him on that sort of money when he'd basically played 10 games or so as a fullback for Canterbury. Like, he hadn't even established himself as a fullback. So I was just sort of more pissed off about that we give someone such massive coin when you don't know if they're really a fullback. And to be perfectly fair, like, Moses is a great guy, and he's a smart player. He's a very composed player. He's only 27, but under the high ball, he's pretty, you know, pretty ordinary, to be honest. So it proved he wasn't a fullback, and we've tried to play him in a few other different positions, and hopefully 5'8". Is where he's going to stay for the rest of the year if him and Adam play like that.
Yeah, it's weird. Last week we were all saying, Madge, what are you thinking? There's no way he's going to do... It's just crazy that after a week we're like, oh, maybe Madge... And it kind of goes to show that we don't see what goes on at training and that sort of thing. So if you're keen, I'm keen to speak to some of the players and kind of see their thoughts on... the media talking shit pretty much? Like, do they just laugh it off because they kind of know what's actually going on? And talking about Madge being sacked and
all that bullshit. Yeah, to be fair, Josh, I don't think any of us thought Adam was going to fail at centre. We knew wherever we put him, he's going to do well. It was just like, how are we taking our like key playmaker away from number six? That's what the concern was. Like I said, if we could clone two of them and play one at six and one at centre, yeah, you'd do that. So I knew Adam wasn't going to let us down. It was just like, are we going to play the same boring bullshit, four hit-ups, one backline movement, one kick footy? And last week, it was just a different team. Like, when we got in there in the red zone and we're on the attack, we were having, like, three and four shots at the opposition. And you could tell we were playing for space. And I'm not just talking about the tries we scored. Like, I don't know if you noticed, like, Alex Twoll, absolute champion, barely misses a tackle, always doing the tough yards. He got the ball twice last week and was running the space. Did you notice that? He actually stepped off and he looked threatening. Or something like,
he was about 80 centimetres from scoring a try.
Where did he come from? Like, seriously. Yeah. It was just a whole new sort of philosophy to how we played last week. And that's the part that's really uplifting. It wasn't the fact that we won. It was just the way, the style of footy we played. I'm like, bring that. That's West Tigers footy. That's what we want to see.
Was playing in front of 35,000 people... Could that have been a factor? I know we're kind of going back a segment here, but could the big crowd, the young guys, they haven't really played again in a big crowd, a lot of them, especially with COVID and everything going on. Did maybe a bit of adrenaline, could that have been a reason? What do you reckon?
Well, if you're asking me, I don't think so personally, because we've had two big occasions recently, even though it hasn't been the same size crowd. We've had a pretty packed Leichhardt Oval and a pretty packed Campbelltown for Tommy tributes, with games we had to win, with, you know, especially last, or the week before last, where we come off a win against St. George and we thought we turned our season around. No, this was a completely different style. Like, you go back to every game of last year, we did not play how we did Friday night. This was, to me, like, gee, has, you know, Madge had an awakening. Is this, like, has someone put it in his ear, let's play some freaking footy, because you're not going anywhere with this mundane style of footy. Like I said, even when we didn't do much in the second half, there was still a bit of shape about our how we were standing when we had the ball. We weren't bunched up 10 people together. You know, there was just some shape there so that the opposition couldn't jam their middle. It was just, mate, it was bloody exciting. I couldn't sleep. I was wrapped.
It just makes the whole weekend.
Oh, mate, I watched the replay later that night. I couldn't wait to see the game again.
And Shane, you didn't go shopping this week?
No, I was up to Hunter Valley. I had a wedding. So we all made it down to the pub to watch the footy. So, no, I was pretty stoked that I saw my sign at the stadium. I couldn't believe it. I was looking there and I'm like, holy shit. My son's actually up in Queensland. I hope I don't get a phone call from up there.
I'm going to make it a known thing. If the Tigers are playing bad, we'll call it. It's time to go grocery shopping from now on.
Why can't they play like that when we go to a game?
That's what I know. I haven't seen a win this year.
I haven't seen a win in person this year. Just give me the shit.
Well, the wins have been in Newcastle, Brisbane, and Wollongong. Yeah, so yeah, I haven't travelled. I haven't been to a road game this year, so
I'm 0-4. Terrible.
How many home? I've been to every home game. So what's that? 0-5 home games, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't go to Brisbane, obviously, but I've been to two Campbelltown games, the Roosters and the Gold Coast. I went to Leichhardt for the Cowboys game, and I went to Stadium Australia for the Parramatta game.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm 0-6. All the home games. Yeah, so I'm gonna, and they're playing in my hometown this week, but because of the 6 PM Friday, I won't be able to get to it. But again, yeah, we'll talk about that when we get to it. A small thing that dropped, little tidbit from this week. They've unveiled the Indigenous jersey, new design for this year. What are your thoughts on it, Shane?
I love it. I love it every year, though. Every one they put out, I think, it's probably one of the best out of the whole league. But just, yeah, like, especially having Bane standing there with it on, it's just, that's just cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's cool to have an Indigenous player being able to model.
A super proud Indigenous player. Like, he's so
a good model for it, isn't he?
Perfect.
Yeah, yeah, good young, up-and-coming superstar. Hot take, though. Now, if we add Asako to our squad as well, we have a lot of Samoan players. Now, what would you guys think if the West Tigers did a Samoan style jersey? I don't know if they'd be able to do it, because obviously the Warriors, in there, they have a Maori Indigenous jersey. Maybe it wouldn't be a good taste to kind of do it during in Indigenous round, but a Samoan-themed West Tigers jersey, maybe, because we've got so many of the players. So if you think about our squad, we've got the Leiluas. Who
I'm
else?
I'm pretty sure Cheekam.
Cheekam.
Noffa.
I think Sean. Noffa, of course, Noffa. Sean. We've got a lot of Samoans in our team. Like, if the Samoan team was picked tomorrow, we'd probably have half the squad. So maybe something to think about the club, and they kind of should just steer into kind of getting that community to being part of the West Tigers, culture, and kind of putting out a jersey. Just something to think about.
Good idea.
We put out so many jerseys. What's one more? So
exactly.
I like a Pacific Island, Samoan traditional Guernsey would be pretty cool. I think so. On to this week's game. So, as I mentioned, we are playing in my place of birth. We are playing at Gosford on Friday night, 6 p.m. against the New Zealand Warriors. So, team list is as Madge normally does. If we win, he doesn't make any changes. So, we're looking the same. How confident are you going into this game? We'll start. Go, Shane. What do you reckon?
Look, coming off what we saw, I think we're all pretty confident, especially with that half staring. Just need to play eyes up footy, and I think that's literally what we have been saying all year. The boys aren't just playing footy. What's in front of them, they're not playing. They're just playing. I don't even know what they're playing, let's be honest. They weren't playing footy. So if they can keep playing how they did last week, creating opportunities. Look, Warriors are going to be a hard side. They've got a massive forward pack. They got Tuivasa-Sheck. They got Reece Walsh. He's killing it. Every time he comes on, he's dangerous. So, look, we've got a big challenge ahead of us. I believe these guys are probably harder to beat than the Titans. But I think we can do it. I reckon we've got this.
What are you thinking, Rob?
Yeah, I've got to apologise to all the West Tigers fans out there, because I'm actually going to tip us to win this week, which is normally a bad sign. But I think for us to win it this week, we're probably going to have to score a similar amount of points to what we did last week, because they have got some really good little steppers in, you know, Tuivasa-Sheck and Nick Arima and the young kid on the bench. He's been blitzing it. He had a great game even last weekend. Came on after about 20 minutes. But I am confident that I know they've got a big team and what have you, but they've still got some sort of fringe players in there. You know, Montoya on the wing, Aitken in the centre, and we all, you know, Ben Murdoch was still a starter with us, and he's a really damaging runner. He's come back from England, and those sort of guys normally don't go 80 minutes. So I'm just really, really hoping we can get the job done this week, and we should have an enormous amount of confidence. So there's no reason why we can't win it. It's definitely not going to be easy. They've got a lot of points in it. But from what we saw last Friday night, so do we.
Yeah, the attack, I saw in the story talking about Asako and Pangai Jr. James Hooper wrote the Tigers are looking to add more attack. I feel like our attack has been okay this year. Like, obviously, it can always get better. But I feel like our defense is what is letting us down most games. But yeah, I think we've definitely got the points in us, and if we can shut down Sheck, as you said, RTS, we're a big chance. So hopefully we get a decent crowd. There's a lot of West Tigers fans back up the Central Coast, as you will know, Shane, being almost a coastie yourself. by
almost a Kirsty.
by almost marriage.
Kirsty by association.
Yeah, by association. Yeah. So of the top, I look up this stat every time we play there, but I think it's like the top six crowds at that stadium are West Tigers games. So there's a lot of a lot of obviously older people who have moved out, like my family who used to live in Western Sydney and moved up to the Central Coast over the years that have the team. That's why I don't think a team like the Bears, putting a team on the Central Coast might not work because so many people up there already have a team. So I think people find it hard. I think the Gold Coast is probably why that fails a little bit as well because people already support the Broncos anyway. I was always keen to get to Gosford to see a game, but if we're not going, maybe they will win. So maybe we should just stay away.
Okay, I'll just watch it on the TV.
From the game.
Well, I think the one negative is the Warriors have played so many games there the last couple of years. It's almost like a home ground for them. So that, you know, they are used to playing there and we aren't.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one negative. I mean, the one positive for us is, I stand corrected, but I'm pretty sure I read somewhere today that it's the first time in a couple of years that Madge has named the same 17 for the next week.
Yeah, which I find hard to believe because he usually, I mean, we haven't won enough for him to do this, but he normally kind of stays solid after a win.
Yeah, probably injury might have forced it or something like that, you know, on previous occasions.
Bench always moves around, though. He always moves bench
around.
Yeah,
true.
Well, he doesn't have much wheel room this week because we don't have Simpkin on the bench to, you know, sort of swap with Madden. So I think that's going to be our utility back. So
you mentioned Stefano earlier, Rob, that we thought he might have been carrying an injury, but he's been named for the Magpies. So he's in the 21 or the 20 jersey.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not. Maybe I don't know for what reason Madge, Shane and I are obviously high on him as well. What do you think's going on?
Someone mentioned to me that he missed a pretty simple tackle on Fogarty, the Gold Coast halfback, a couple of weeks ago, which I can't see him getting dropped for one tackle, but that might be it. The other thing that it could be too, Josh, and you got to remember with last Thursday's Magpies game, is the team they named, dead set, was obliterated an hour before kickoff. They changed seven players out of that. So, you know, is Stefano really going to start on Saturday, mate?
No, no.
You know what I mean?
No, like, his name for the Magpies.
I know his name, but what I'm saying, they still might change that.
But his name for the Magpies this week.
That's what I'm
too. Oh, so you're saying he might be a late call up to the NRL.
The Magpies game. If you saw the Magpies team sheet, what was named and what ran out last Thursday night, there were seven changes. There were seven last minute changes, not like changes that we knew a week earlier about.
So you're saying Stefano might play NRL?
I'm not saying this week. I'm not saying he might not play NRL. I'm saying he might not play for Magpies, even though he's named for the Magpies.
Okay, so you think he's sort of sit out this week?
He possibly might. I'm just saying, like, if you go off what happened last week, seven players that were named for the Magpies didn't play at all. So, you know, just like, for example, Zach Sini was named a fullback and Simpkin was named on the bench. Like, they didn't play.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was because of the bubble with the whole...
the COVID thing.
Queensland borders and that sort of thing. So, prediction score-wise, what are you thinking, Shane?
I reckon it'll be a high-scoring game. I reckon 36-32. We win.
Oof. Holden Cup style.
I reckon so. I reckon it'll be a high-scoring game. We both have pretty shitty defence, so...
Yeah, it's a fair theory. What are you thinking, Rob?
Yeah, I think the same thing, especially if the crackdown on deliberate sin bins and stuff like that keeps playing out this week. It looks like it's going to be a high scoring game, and I just hope we score the last try that wins the game. Have one more try than them, but I think a similar scoreline. You know, hopefully it'll be a little bit less. Like our defence, even though our first contact wasn't great last week, when you think about it, they got 6 points after the siren. That's because Moses didn't want to move out of the way and kick the football stupidly at full time, thinking the ref was just going to blow full time. So we kind of really held them to 12 points.
Yeah, they kind of put the key on that.
Our scramble was really good last week too. Like, even though some of the first contact was bad, there were a couple of instances where it looked like for sure Newcastle were going to score, and we had players coming from everywhere. So
a lot of head pats too. Just the team just seemed like they were just happy to be there for once. Like when CFR stripped that ball, as we talked about earlier, would knock the ball out. They all like ran and did. They just seemed pumped, and they all were passionate for the result. So,
did you see Adam Glavy at halftime?
No, he
did the big, you know, bicep curl, fist pump, and then literally went up to every bloke that was still on the field, giving him a tap on the back and a sort of fist pump, like "well done." Like, he's really taking leadership of the team as they were going into the.
He has to be captain.
He's the unofficial captain. He's got to be future captain. 100%. He's the unofficial captain. He's taken a few games in a row by the scruff of the neck, even when we haven't won.
Your mate Jimmy Tarmow, speaking of captain, Shane, how do you reckon Jimmy's been going?
Look, I reckon he's probably been one of our better defensive forwards. That's why he's on first. Not his running game, but again, you know how we were talking about Twile with that little step before Rob?
Yep.
Watch Tarmow. Watch him in round one, watch him last year, watch him the year before that. That's how he runs. Won't run straight at the line, shifts. He always shifts and like looks for a little gap and will hit in between two players. He'll never run one-on-one, ever.
Yeah, well, I was shocked with his criticism last week. Like, I didn't really mention it, but from where I was sitting in the stands, he was the first one up out of the line. He led us for line speed. He set the tone for our line speed. Even though, don't get me wrong, it wasn't there from everyone. But he's the first one up there to meet the attacking player, and it was as clear as clear as day against the Gold Coast. And then everyone was bagging the shit out of him last week, and I thought, you know what, maybe there's something I haven't seen, or some missed tackles or something like that. But we definitely need him out there. Obviously, we need more sort of output from him.
He's an easy one to pick on.
A lot of people because he's on the Bitcoin. Exactly.
Well, he's not. He's only on 350k a year, and he's our captain. Like, he's not really on that bigger coin, but
it's nothing.
He's the oldest one on our team. So people go, retirement home, this bullshit, rah, rah, rah. We have one of the youngest teams in the comp, Bar Panthers.
100%.
And we need the leadership. If anyone here has actually met Jimmy or seen him interact with the boys, and they don't like Jimmy, their head will turn 180. 100%. I'm just telling you that right now. He leads on the field, and you could tell when he didn't go on in that second half. What was it, like four games ago?
Yeah,
he was absolutely fuming.
It's not all about Supercoach points. Like, there's so much more to a guy adding value than the stats that he's putting
on the sheet. You need that experience on the field. Like, you really do. Like, you take out Jimmy, you take out Nofa, you take out Joey Leilua, and you take out our halves. That's five guys. Look at all the other games combined that our players have had. Like, we've got Adams reach 50. You've got, I think, McKaylee's had about 50. The rest have had 10 games or less. Like, we have a really, really young squad, as Shane was saying, and that's what was exciting about last week. I'm just thinking, wow, we've just got a lot of these guys on no money. We just add a little bit of the right experience in the right positions. And there's some talent there. Mate, things are looking good. I don't care where we finish this year. I'm really happy with how things are shaping up. But most importantly, just the way we play. That was, Madge keeps saying we're all in it together. We've all got to lift. We've all got to change. We've all got to be better. Well, Madge was better. I'm going to give him a big credit for that, mate. He was great. That's what we want to see every week.
And it's just all the talk has just died. All the pressure that was on the team and the coach and that sort of thing. This week, just maybe magic round and all the sin bins and all the news headlines kind of shifted away. But haven't seen any former West Tigers play a team list this week on the media anyway. So,
well, they can't hang the shit on us when we're winning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's just funny. It's just if we can keep, I don't know, it's kind of a momentum thing. One win hopefully can lead to something more. So we're, like I said earlier, we're only 2 points out of the eight. And talking about Jimmy Tarmo and his age, so Dane Gagai was touted earlier in the week as a possible signing. Now, I'll get your guys' thoughts on whether or not we need him or should get him or whatever, but he's 31 in January. Now, a lot of people were saying he's old while we want to get someone old. We're talking about experienced players, but 31 for an outside back isn't that old. 31, 32, 33, sure, they're not in their peak, but I'm sick of people saying, like, writing people, not just because I'm 33 years old and I'm having a quarter life, one-third life crisis, but 31, like, early 30s isn't that bad. Like, with sports science, it's not like back in the day when players are retiring in their early 30s. Like, players are going to start retiring, especially in the outside backs, mid-30s, and you look at Cam Smith, who went even longer. So, stop writing off people in their early 30s as too old and think about it logically.
Look at the Morris
Rob, what's your thought? Exactly. The Morris brothers, ACL aside, they're
34, 35.
Yeah. They're older than me. That's how old they are. But
and arguably, outside backs in the, like, literally in the comp, obviously before the ACL, but I would say them two together were probably the top of the top.
Yeah, see, for mine, with whoever we're looking at getting guys, like, you're never going to knock back a player like Dane Gagai. He's a rep player. He's going to be named in the Queensland Origin team. That, like, historically with Gagai, he generally plays like the best player on the field in Origin, and he isn't the same player at club level. That's pretty much been his mojo, even going back to when he was with Newcastle. You know, he's always been great at rep level. He hasn't been great at club level. For me, we can't really say no to anyone. Like, they won't add to our team. They won't improve us. What we've got to look at is how much is it costing. That's what it's got to come down to. So I would never say no to any of these guys, but the same goes to Asako and TPJ. If we're going to pay them stupid money, see you later. Don't want you. But can we do with them? Bloody oath. So we've just got to spend our dollars wisely, and that's why, you know, we don't want to sound like hypocrites. I said that, you know, hopefully our success is going to come from a lot of what's within. And forward talent-wise, including who we've bought from, you know, obviously Stefano from Parramatta and Joffa from Brisbane, I think we've got enough there to sort of develop and work with. But you never say no with the TPJ if you get them at the right price. But, you know, how much money do we have to throw at these guys to get them to come to our club? That's a big question.
See, I don't think we'll be paying that much.
Well, what about for Gagai? Like, Gagai's not going to come cheap.
I don't think he'll be that expensive either, because who else is after, like, after him? I haven't heard almost anyone. I think it was Dragons, maybe. But other than that, like, look,
you'd have to think around the 400, 500 mark.
I'd say 450.
The beauty with Gagai, he plays centre. He plays, you know, Origin on the wing generally. And he played most of his career at Newcastle at fullback. So he can cover all three positions as well. So when you get that, all that versatility with a player, like, yeah, you do want him there, but you don't want, obviously he's going to be looking for, like, the retirement contract. You know what I mean? Like, this is my last decent contract. I want to get as much coin as I can. And, you know, everyone's going to want a classy centre. So, we're going to have the money to spend. You know, we're going to have some money. We don't really need many big name forwards. We're going to lose Packer at the end of the year, who's on 600, so that's going to free up a bit more money. Obviously, Dane Laurie's on a little bit more money next year. And we've just got to decide what we're doing with the option on Joey Leilua, if we just forego it and renegotiate it.
And Jimmy.
Jimmy the Jet, seriously. I love Madge this week. Madge is my favourite human being this week. If Jimmy gets back in that 17, Madge has lost me again. Seriously, he's fucking hopeless.
What if there's an injury?
I'll lose 20 kilos and I'll come and play.
I mean, I know Zach Sini had an absolute shocker. But Zach Sini, surely Zach Sini should, but obviously maybe they want Zach Sini in the Magpies squad.
Well, that was surprising that he didn't play last week, because, you know, the first thing you do after a kid has a shocker is, you know, you get him back on the horse. And it was just really surprising that he didn't get to play, because, like, you know, he had a horrific game against the Gold Coast. But, you know, maybe there were other reasons that we don't know about. But, like I say, we've got some talent there, guys. There's good things happening. There's really, really good things happening. I hate Pascoe, but he's doing a good job this week. This week, I love him.
Pascoe.
Yeah, he's gone to Queensland. He's going to look for a couple of players.
Oh, okay.
He's on the front foot. Probably flying business class with the boys. It's good.
That's all right. Put it on the club credit card. That's fine. So that's what Pascoe's got to do. He's just got to get out there and get hungrier. He's got to identify
talent, mate. Not has-beens, not Josh Reynolds, not Russell Packer, not Chris McQueen. Get out of it.
Is that his job though? That's my thing with Pascoe. Is it his job to recruit talent?
It is Hardigan's job. But if you're a player coming into the club, don't you want to meet the boss? Don't you want to see what the boss is like? And
you do, but
you need him there.
But
you need
I don't think it's. I don't
you have, exactly.
You have to have,
you
have
yeah, CEO, you need CEO. Him there.
You have to have your coach, and you have to have your head of football. And like that's the reason why those three boys went up to Queensland. Like you have to have your CEO there.
He can't avoid it, Josh. Even if he hasn't got the footy now, he can't avoid it.
No. My point is, obviously, he's got to be good at the negotiations and that sort of thing. My point is him saying, "I want him. I don't want him." Like that sort of thing. Adding players.
I don't think it matters.
That's my point.
I don't think he has a voice in it. No.
I think he's there to sell the vision of what else is going on. He's selling the vision.
He's an AFL guy.
Yeah, he's an AFL guy.
Justin Pascoe's background is an AFL guy. So there's no way that he has any... Because he's essentially... With Cleary, he gave Cleary the keys, which in theory, in hindsight, not good. In theory, it was good. It probably was good in theory. Cleary obviously abused that power and ruined the club for multiple years, and he's basically our Adolf Hitler now. But I think he does the same... He's got Hardigan in now, so I guess it's that next step below of hiring the right people to hire the right people, I guess, is his job. But the business side is doing really well, and I think as a CEO, you've got to look that he's doing things well there. The performance on the field can't be thrown on the CEO, is my point.
And definitely not anymore. I'm just a little bit... You know, a little bit of a vengeful prick when it comes to that sort of stuff from a few years ago. That's all. But you're 100% right. And as long as it's in, well, look, whether we want who Madge wants or not, it's Madge's team. Madge has got to pick who he wants. So as long as Madge and Hardigan are getting who they want, and more importantly, we can't lose talent that we've got. The first thing is to make sure we keep the right talent there, and then obviously try and add the mix with it. But you know, it's going to be really interesting. Like, hopefully, imagine Brooks and Moses have a few good weeks in a row. Then all of a sudden we're saying, hey, we don't need halves. But if they go back to Shitsville, well, then obviously we're looking for more help other than Jackson Hastings.
Well, Hastings is coming, and I reckon he's got that 6 jersey pine up next year.
So the 13...
I don't think he's going to be a lock.
So 8... So Adam's going to be in the centres, you think?
I think so, yeah.
Jackson, it's an expensive... I mean, I love Adam, but...
too classy to keep out of the house. It's literally that simple. Like, I love Adam in the house, but I'd be picking Hastings. Just, like, literally go watch his games in the Super League and what he does.
Well, we've said it before, the thing with Adam, like I say, I'm happy with him. Where as long as he's in the team, I really don't give a shit.
He just has to be.
But he's on too much money to be a centre. He really is. Mm. He's on Mal Meninga money, mate, to be in the centres. Like it's big
coin. Well, we better make him the best centre in the league, guys.
Well, if he plays like last week, geez, he set up a few tries.
Yeah.
As long as he has his money, I don't care where he plays. It doesn't matter what he's hard on his sleeve. As long as he... And we know he cares about the club. That's it. As long as he plays how he's worth, which he does every single week, without a doubt, doesn't matter what position he's playing, and he can play front row forward, I'm telling you right now, he'll probably kill it as well. He's just into it. And then, like, 600 grand? Yeah, it's a lot of money for a centre, but you know what? He's worth every bit of it. Just the morale, the support, the passion... And then his playing ability is just like second to none.
I can honestly tell you, Shane, I've never been more excited since last Friday night just like I might be repeating myself, but the way we played and knowing how young that squad is and what we've got inside in the Magpies and just, you know, maybe missing a few ingredients, it's really for the first time I've actually got hope. I mean, sincerely, genuinely have hope. I've always tried to, I probably kept my cards close to my chest, but, you know, a lot of times I'm pretty negative about things. And as I said a few weeks ago,
that's why we love you.
But that's why I said a few weeks ago, you can have a good off season in recruiting and still come near last. Like we did do a good job in recruiting. You know, we got rid of a lot of big money, and we got a lot of good cheap buys. So we've made room to acquire people that we might need. So, but like this week, I've been buzzing. I've been absolutely buzzing. My family think I'm a fucking idiot, but they've always thought that. So that's all good. That's all good. But the signs are good, mate. The signs are really, really good.
Well, this is what I knew we could do at the beginning of the season.
I didn't think we could, mate.
It's like looking on paper and really just seeing the bits and pieces that I've seen of each of our players. Obviously, it was going to take a bit of time to gel. I thought we'd probably take out those games that we're looking at now going and should have won. I really think we're going to do it. But
maybe it was a blessing we didn't win those games, Shane, because we might not have played the style we played the other night. Like, I would have hated to have won 18-16 or something like that, playing that boring fucking bullshit. Like, we weren't boring the other night, mate. And it wasn't like we were playing Harlem Globetrotter style either. Like, we just played eyes up footy, as you've said, looking for holes. You know, like I said, not for offloads, gives it to Envy. Now, Envy might normally tuck it under the arms and say, hang on, there's a hole there, and here's Tommy ready to take the next ruck up. How about I go this way and put him in a hole? Like, it was just eyes up footy. It was beautiful to watch. You know, it just, you know, it's so uplifting, mate. It's really good. It's really, really good. I'm pumped.
Mm. Well, I'm pumped now. Still got to wait. Still got 2 days of work before the game.
Let's go, mate. Let's go. Ready to go.
So, talk a little bit of a... I was just thinking to myself then, if Shane's correct and Hastings is at the six, so what's our 1-7 next year? So obviously Dane's locked in at one, Knopf is locked in on a wing. Let's assume to make this a little bit more fun, we've got Asako on the other wing. We've got Adam in a centre, so Brooks and... Hastings in the halves. There's a centre spot there.
Talau or Sini.
Possibly that Oliver Gilda.
Zach Sini.
Yeah.
Oh, Gilda. We've got Gilda coming along too. So, well, what of Zach Sini though then? But, I mean, depth is a good thing. But what's... I'll let you go first, Rob. 1-7.
I don't like disagreeing with Shane. I think... Let's be real.
No, that's what a podcast.
Let's be real about this. It's going to depend on how we go the rest of the year. Okay? Like, you know, if stupid things happen, you know, and we get a great run and we make the semis, well, it all changes. But really, it's going to start with what happens in the halves. And if we keep winning, Adam's going to stay in the centres. That's pretty simple. And if Brooksy isn't the Brooksy that we saw last week, or Moses isn't the Moses we saw last week, well, it looks like we've got to stick with Brooksy. Moses is on the outer. Then Adam will play 5-8. And then it all changes again. I personally feel Jackson Hastings will be 13 or 14. I don't see him getting the 7 unless we shunt Brooksy. But we've always said Brooksy, you know, should be playing like a 5-8. But last week, it really was Moses as a 5-8. Like, if you look at some of those block plays, it was Brooksy to Moses to Dane to Joey, or Dane to Adam. So really, Brooksy was first receiver last week and Moses was second receiver. And Moses played the perfect link role. He didn't overplay his hand, as we said earlier. And the same with Dane Laurie. When he got the ball, like even the Joey Leilua no try, it was 3-on-2. Dane Laurie gets the ball, didn't try to do much, just shuttled it to Joey and let Joey do his thing. So I think Jackson Hastings, to answer your question, would be more a 14, probably a 13. I don't think we're going to get him on big money. So I don't think he's a necessity to start. Like, I'd love him to work out, don't get me wrong, but I can't see him being a 6.
Hmm. Oh, it's a fun thing to have too many talented guys to fit in. It's not normally a luxury we have. So another fun show tonight, guys. Shane, as we every week, we're sponsored by MG Pump Solutions. How's the business going this week? What's happening there?
Always busy. Maddie and I just been doing a lot of firework lately. A lot of the hydrostatic stuff, which is testing the fire systems, so like in all the high rises and that. We pressure test them to make sure either they do fail and there's an issue, or they don't fail, which is what we want. Because I don't like flooding buildings. So that's what we've been doing the last week or so. So always spice it up and do something a bit different each week.
So I'll pretend I understand kind of what you meant. Then what do you? So how do pumps work with fire systems? I must sound like an absolute idiot when it comes to when I talk this alpha male stuff.
All your high rise stuff. So say if you live in an apartment, we do a lot of web work point near where you live, Josh. So
yeah, don't give that out. Yeah, I do live near
around Homebush area. Pretty much all those new apartments that are going up, they've got a fire system that runs from the ground floor to the roof, either in the fire stairs or in the apartments, the sprinkler heads. The way the water gets up there, they've got big diesel pumps and big electric pumps that pretty much just boost the pressure up.
Okay.
And once one of them goes, the pump starts and just keeps feeding the pressure till either someone turns it off or it explodes.
Right. I get it. I kind of get it now. I've learned something tonight.
Yeah, it's all pretty simple stuff.
Send out the Gosford. Let's pump the Warriors this week.
100%. Need more pressure.
Exactly.
It's a good way to finish, boys. Fingers crossed we can talk about our first back-to-back win in 11 months next week. So... thanks again for being on the show, boys. As always, go
thanks,
the Tigers,
and hopefully see you Saturday at Lincoln.
Yep, see you all
day. Absolutely, yeah. Come say hi to us. Yeah, if you see us, Shane's a big tattooed guy with a beard. I'm the little short midget next to him.
No comment.
Rob, our dad, sitting next to us.
That's why I'm
boys. Enjoy the chat.